I'd like to talk with you about what I call soul stress and how to find rest for your soul. Listen to the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The first thing that I see in these words of Jesus is that he invites the exhausted to come to him. I wonder, is your soul exhausted today? You may ask, well, what's soul exhaustion? I think it's the weariness that comes from running. Until we run to Jesus, we are running away from so many things. We run away from deep relationships because we're afraid of being hurt. We run from problems. We run from quietness and solitude into busyness because we're afraid that if we pause for a moment, we might just realize how empty our lives really are. Sometimes we run because we forget that it's God who sustains our life individually and as a church. It's not us. Columnist Herb Cain wrote for the San Francisco Chronicle a number of years ago, and he said this: every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows that it must run faster than the fastest lion, or it will be killed. Every morning a lion wakes up, and it knows that it must outrun the slowest gazelle, or it will starve to death. It doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle, when the sun comes up, you'd better be running. What or whom are you running from? What or whom are you running to? Jesus invites the exhausted in soul to run to him and find rest. He invites those who are exhausted in their search for truth to come to him. The Greeks of old said, it is very difficult to find God, and when you have found him, it's impossible to tell others about him. By contrast, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He claims that the long and lonely search for God, for soul contentment, ends in himself. St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Secondly, Jesus invites the burdened to come to him and find rest. There was once a man who was overweight, had never thought about the strain he was placing on his heart and his knees until he developed coronary problems and arthritis. His doctor put him on a strict diet and told him that if he wanted to improve his health, he would have to shed a few pounds, of course. Several months later, in a conversation with his pastor, the man made this interesting observation. He said, for years I was carrying a heavy burden without realizing it. Now I've exchanged it for a new one, this diet. He says it's similar to what happened in my spiritual life. The one difference is that the burden that Jesus placed on me is easier and lighter than the one the doctor gave me. From what kind of burdens does Jesus relieve us? You know, St. Augustine, who I quoted a few moments ago, was haunted by the fact that as a boy, he had stolen fruit from a neighbor's tree. Now, in later life, he did a lot worse things than that, but that one act nagged at his soul. Jesus relieves us of guilt. He also relieves those who are burdened with religion. Jesus said of the Pharisees, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. I don't think Jesus was fond of religion. He was not fond of any humanly manufactured system of do's and don'ts. My friend Tim Hansel once described religion as a pattern of rules and regulations, a system that helps us tidy up our behavior, somewhat like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It gives you a better view as you go down. Jesus also invites those who are burdened with hurt. I wonder, have you been hurt by someone? Doesn't take long in life to experience that. Jesus understands it because he experienced perhaps the worst kind of hurt that anyone can. And he promises to give us the love that no one else has ever given us or can give. There was a man who was experiencing trying times in his life, and he came home one day with a package for his wife. And as he entered the house, he saw his little daughter sitting in a chair. The girl had been a paraplegic for quite some time. And the man went up to his little girl, and kissing her, he asked, "Where is your mother?" "Upstairs," she replied. "Well, I have something for her. Let me carry it to her," the little girl pleaded. The father gently asked, "Well, how can you carry it, sweetheart, when you can't even carry yourself?" And she said, "It'll be easy, Papa. I will carry the package and you will carry me." And God spoke softly to that man, showing him he was in the same position as his daughter. He was carrying a burden of difficulty, but was not the Lord carrying him? A third thing I see in this passage is that Jesus invites us to take on his yoke. Now, we probably all know what a yoke is, a wooden bar or frame that joins together two oxen by the neck. It enables them to work together. Jesus invites us to join our lives to his so that he can help us carry our burdens and so we can work together. Now, sometimes I know we don't like to be led by others. We either like to do the leading or simply do our own thing. There's a water pump in the Sudan that was operated by oxen that walked in a circle and slowly turning a giant wheel. One ox was untrained, and he constantly tried to break the pattern by going in the wrong direction. He was bucking the yoke because he wanted to avoid toil and strain. But in reality, he only hindered the work and he made it harder on himself. Sometimes I think we buck the yoke of Jesus because we mistakenly think that his way is going to be more painful. It's not. God created life to work a certain way, and when we cut life against the grain, it's hard. But if we follow Jesus' way, we find peace and productivity. Jesus says, his yoke is easy. In other words, it's easy to wear. It fits well. And when we allow Jesus to lead, we find that his way is best suited to to our human flourishing. He also says his burden is light. The burden of the Jewish religion in Jesus' day was great because the Pharisees had made it so. By contrast, Jesus sums up his way of life so simply. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus' burden is light because it's simple. As William Barclay once said, the burden which is given and carried in love is always light. And then he tells the story of a man who came upon a little boy one day who was carrying a still smaller boy who was lame upon his back. And this is a Scottish story, by the way. Gives me a chance to do a little accent. The man said, "That's a heavy burden for you to carry." And the little boy who was carrying the still littler boy said, "That's not a burden. That's me wee brother." Neil Diamond turned that story into a song and he titled it, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." The fourth thing I see in this passage is that Jesus invites us to find our rest in Him. And that's a great paradox, isn't it? That we find rest through taking on a yoke. That our burdens are eased by taking on His burden. I think the paradox of the Christian life, the many paradoxes of the Christian life, were summed up so well by A.W. Tozer, who once said, "A real Christian is an odd number anyway. He feels supreme love for one whom he has never seen. He talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see. Expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. Empties himself in order to be full. Admits he is wrong so he can be declared right. Goes down in order to get up. Is strongest when he is weakest. Richest when he is poorest. And happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live. He forsakes in order to have. He gives away so he can keep. He sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, and knows that which passeth knowledge." And now we can add to that one more paradox. We find rest when we take on Jesus' yoke. What does He give us rest from? Well, all the things we talked about at the beginning. And maybe one more. I think Jesus gives us rest from perfectionism. Instead, He brings us into His holiness. And I spell that with a W. He brings us into wholeness. According to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram of June 17, 1988, the Houston School District nominated school bus driver Lily Baltrop for a safe driving award. And her colleagues even trusted her to drive a busload of them to the award ceremony for safe drivers. On the way to the ceremony, Lily, as she was driving the bus, turned a corner a little too fast and she flipped the bus over. No one was seriously hurt, but they were all sent to the emergency room for cuts and scrapes and a few bruises here and there. None of us are perfect, are we? And if we try to be perfect in our own strength, it is exhausting. The good news is Jesus offers us rest from that pursuit of perfectionism. He offers us His grace. Here's a way to spell grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We can receive a full life now and forever because of Jesus' perfect driving record and because Jesus took the punishment for all our accidents, all of our sins on the cross. You may be wondering, did Lily still receive her reward? No, she didn't. Award ceremonies and award committees don't operate on grace. That's not the way it works in this world. But thankfully, Jesus operates on grace. And you know what? He gives us rest from searching. In Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." But you said, "We will not walk in it." When it comes to seeking God, some of us, I think, want to be forever seeking and never finding. You know, kind of like the 100-year student that the Chinese talk about. Sometimes we prefer to just to remain uncommitted. But the Lord says that if we stand by the ancient paths and we ask where the good way is and walk in it when we find it, then we find rest for our souls. Millions of people down through the ages have found this peace, this rest in the Lord. It's good for us to learn from them and follow their example. I love the statement of the theologian Yaroslav Pelikan, who once said, "Tradition is the living faith of people now dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of people now living." I can tell you, I have no interest in traditionalism. But searching the ancient paths, the ancient traditions of God's people that lead to a living faith, that is good stuff. Those who have found a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, can give up endlessly searching for God, because in Jesus we find the one true God. And thereby we find rest for our souls. And that leads to the final point. Jesus offers us rest for eternity. Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God." That's heaven. And I think C.S. Lewis hit the right note when he described heaven at the end of his children's book, The Last Battle. At the end of the story, Lucy and her two brothers are in a railway accident and they find themselves in a beautiful world that reminds them of Narnia and England all rolled into one. But they don't understand where they are until the great lion Aslan, the Christ figure of the story, meets them and speaks to them. And Aslan turns to them and says, "You do not yet look so happy as I intend you to be." And Lucy says, "We're so afraid of being sent away, Aslan, and you have sent us back into our own world so often." "No fear of that," said Aslan. "Have you not guessed?" And their hearts leaped, and a wild hope rose within them. "There was a real railway accident," said Aslan softly. "Your father and mother and all of you are, as you used to call it in the Shadowlands, dead. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream is ended. This is the morning." I wonder, do you remember what it felt like when you were school age and you woke up on the first morning of summer vacation? I think that is just a foretaste of what it will be like when we wake up in heaven. That is the ultimate rest that Jesus promises to all of us if we come to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for sending Your Son Jesus into this world to reveal to us who You are and Your great love for us. and to offer us rest for our souls. Eternal summer vacation. The opportunity to delight in what we were created and redeemed to do, with no boundaries, no limitation. We thank you for that. Help us to come to you, Lord Jesus. Come afresh into our hearts and fill us with that rest that will never end. For we ask it in your name. Amen.